Would you open in your copy of God's Word? We often like to talk about mission here, and since it's St. Patrick's Day, I mean, obviously one of the great historical missionaries, this was one of his favorite texts. Just a couple verses, I'm sure you know them. Jesus ends the Gospel of Matthew with these words, the Great Commission. He said, Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Actually, the Greek there is literally in your going, throughout your day, throughout your week, wherever you may find yourself. Make disciples of all nations, literally all ethnicities, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this day. We're just enjoying the coming of spring and the Bitterroot, and we just thank you for that and the beautiful place we get to live and gather now in your name. And Lord, as we think about your mission in our own lives as well as in our church, we just pray that the example of St. Patrick would encourage us today as he was a fully devoted follower of you, Lord Jesus, as he was truly a biblical Christian. And so Lord, be with us now as we pray. Give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So continuing on in our 40-day Lenten season, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, right? I always loved that as a kid. There's certain holidays that you get excuses. So we'll have some palms and things. That's when kids start beating each other with them and stuff like that, and it's sort of tolerated for a day. One of the things I was reminded of this week in my study was that, did you know that ancient Christians actually celebrated the death of a fellow believer instead of their birthday? Did you know that? Because the thought was that was the time of their heavenly home going. That's why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day on March 17th every year. That was the day of his heavenly home going in the 5th century. Now, in the last 3 weeks, we've covered the traditional Lenten disciplines of fasting, giving, and prayer. And because today is Patrick's birthday in heaven, I thought I would dig through his remaining writings. We have a couple of little things to see how prayer, fasting, and giving worked out in his own life. I thought that would be kind of interesting to think about today. Now, you may be surprised that traditionally in Ireland, St. Patrick's Day was a spiritual holiday. It didn't include today's leprechaun hats and huge parades and gallons of green beer like it does in the U.S. Patrick has long been the patron saint of Ireland, but what's happened over the decades and the years is that his significance as a believer has been overshadowed with parties and parades and that kind of thing. We see that in America today, and reminded me of my former sojourn in New York City. Big parade there, kind of like the time. When an Irish priest was driving down to New York City to go to St. Paddy's Day parade and got pulled over for speeding. The state trooper smelled alcohol in the priest's breath and saw an empty wine bottle on the floor of the car, and so he asked the priest, "Father, have you been drinking?" And the priest said, "Oh, just water, me son." "Then why do I smell wine?" said the trooper. And the priest looked up at the bottle, picked it up, and sniffed it, and cried, "Oh, I can't believe it. The Lord Jesus has done it again." Well, we're trafficking with certain stereotypes today as well. Yeah. People are distracted in this life, especially with St. Patrick's Day, parties, parades. They're often surprised by the fact that, you know, if Patrick were alive today, he would have no clue what was going on. Zero clue. If it were explained to him, he would be undeniably horrified. It had nothing to do with his calling and his heart's mission. Now, it's a little known fact that we still are fortunate enough to possess two writings that he actually penned himself. They're very small, and this is with commentary in it too, but two little letters, and we learned some things about his writing. The first was his so-called confession. He talked about his life before and after Jesus Christ and what God had to do in his life to get his attention, right? What has God had to do in your life to get your attention? Well, for Patrick, it was pretty serious. One of the things you will notice if you ever read these is that Patrick was definitely a biblical Christian. He quotes the Bible constantly throughout these two little pieces of writing that we still have today. And his understanding of Scripture, it just pervades everything. Now, his second writing was a little letter. It was a scathing letter to a British chieftain called Caroticus. This man said that he was a Christian, but he had no problem killing and pillaging from others. And then when he captured women, he would sell them into lives of sexual slavery. And this just sent Patrick off. It's scathing. Another thing that the party and parade crowd doesn't know that, and you want to be careful about saying this to Irish people, Patrick was not born in Ireland. Heresy, right? Not really. No, this is a fact. He actually was born by the sea. We think probably near modern-day Wales. He wasn't born Irish, but you could say that because of God's calling in his life, you could say he became Irish. He says he did. And he lived in a crazy time. A lot of us don't know the history, but very quickly, he lived in the 400s. Remember, Britain had conquered, Britain was conquered by the Romans. The Romans never bothered conquering Ireland. There was nothing there that they wanted. It was more trouble. Kind of like Scotland, still today, right? They built a wall and said, this is where we're stopping because we don't want to deal with you guys. We can't take anything that's worthwhile. And so we're done here. But this is the environment that Patrick lived in. The empire was in decline, so the British troops left. This meant there was political and other sorts of troubles. So Patrick lived a pretty carefree life. His folks had some money. He ignored school. He ignored God until something happened to him that changed his entire the entire course of his life. He was just prior to his 16th birthday, a raiding party of pagan Irishmen, and I don't just mean on St. Patrick's Day today, I mean like then, landed on the shores of his home, and he was forcibly taken captive, only to find himself dragged off to Ireland and placed on an auction block as a slave. That's a bad day. You know, I was hanging out with my homies, and it was all cool, and then they grabbed me, and I was a slave the next minute. Wow. Right? Patrick's own admission, he said this. These are his words. I did not know the true God, and that's why I was taken to Ireland. Ooh, really? I deserve this because I turned my back on God. That's his own words. We talked about this in adult ed today. I think Patrick experienced what Christian author John Eldredge has called a severe mercy. Now, you may have experienced severe mercies. What that is when God allows something to happen to a person that rocks their world and changes their life forever. You may have experiences like that. Sometimes it's so painful that you might even wish for death. I bet some of you experience things like this. Whether it's deserved or not deserved, a severe mercy is a situation or event that will cause a person to do one of two things. They will either press into God for comfort and mercy, or they will turn from God to other things in anger and disgust. Sound familiar? Have you seen this happen in lives around you? For Patrick, he had that same choice. The severe shock of finding himself enslaved to a foreign people with no relief or end in sight caused Patrick to say this. These are his exact words. He said, in Ireland, the Lord opened my eyes, I would say, you know, that I might turn to God with all my heart. It was the Lord who strengthened me, comforting me as a father would a son. Now, I believe that God sometimes uses severe mercies in our lives in order to prepare us for the next stage of life or to get you on mission, right? There should be no passive Christians, just, you know. It's, I mean, for a lot of people, it's like they go to church and it's like feeding a baby. Remember that? Remember Airplane? You have children? You know, that's not what our Christian lives are to be. God has a mission. God has work for you. Have you asked him about that? Do you know what that is? Now, Patrick's severe mercy was pretty long. 6 years he was in Ireland as a slave working as a shepherd. Long days and months of exposure in the open fields. And in that time, instead of collapsing on himself, right, he turned to God. His prayer life exploded, right? He says this, these are his words. He said, I prayed up to 100 times a day and almost as much by night. So these are short, fervent prayers, obviously. That became a daily foundation for Patrick. And during his long hours of communion with the Lord in prayer, God began to reveal his plans and his purposes for Patrick, to prepare him for something that he could have never imagined in his wildest dreams. When you were younger, did you think your life was going to go a certain way and it went a different way? Yeah. Right? That's the big thing, right? How do you make God laugh? Anyone? Tell him your plans. Tell him your plans. It doesn't have to be a negative thing, right? There's a German proverb, you know, men think, but it's God who leads in the end of the day, right? And that's so true with Patrick in his life as well. Short, fervent prayers. And then all of a sudden, in what seemed to be an abrupt move, again in a time of prayer, Patrick heard the voice of the Lord telling him to leave the sheep, walk to the seashore, and that a boat was ready to take him home. I mean, God can be pretty specific in his answers sometimes, right? And it was for Patrick. When he arrived, this is sort of interesting, he found a pagan crew that refused to take him on board. And he did this. He's like, well, what did he do? Well, he withdrew and he started praying about the situation, right? When trouble is in your life or something doesn't work out, what do you do with that? I hope you go straight to the Lord in prayer. That's what Patrick did. And he says this in his confession, that he hadn't even finished that intercessory prayer when some of the crew came to him and they had changed their minds. How about that? Just like that. And so after 6 long years of slavery, Patrick was finally sailing home, or so he thought. But wait, there's more, right? Now, you may know that the Irish people, millions of Irish over the centuries, for different reasons, have left the homeland, settled elsewhere, various countries, new life. Now, what I've noticed over the years that some Irish actually create their own family traditions as a way to feel connected, even though people from the family are all over. They might be separated by hundreds, if not thousands of miles. Kind of like this situation. When a lone Irishman walked into an American bar and ordered 3 shots of whiskey, the bartender found this strange but didn't say anything. This continued every day for 3 weeks, and finally curiosity overwhelmed the bartender and he said, "Why do you always order your whiskey in sets of 3? And the Irishman smiled and said, "Oh, I have 2 brothers. One still lives in Ireland, the other is in Britain. Right now they are doing the same thing. Though we are apart, this is our way of being back together." And the Irishman continued this ritual for several months until one day he only ordered 2 whiskeys. Concerned, the bartender asked the Irishman if one of his brothers had died, to which the Irishman replied, "Oh, thank heavens, no. Both me brothers are fine. It's just that yesterday, I became a Baptist." But you gotta stay connected with family, right? Stereotypes abound. It's interesting to note that before the Lord told Patrick that he'd be sailing home, the Lord said to him, "It's good, Patrick, that you'd been fasting." Here's where fasting comes in a little bit. It's sort of interesting in his writings. In fact, that time of fasting and prayer not only went together for him, but it was preparatory for God's plans in store for Patrick. Now, we know early Christians also engaged in fasting and prayer, but sometimes fasting was also embraced when food simply wasn't available. I know, perish the thought for us as Americans. We miss a meal and we say dumb things like, "I'm starving." No, you're not starving. You're probably doing yourself a favor, actually. Mother Teresa was once asked if her and her nuns fasted. She said, "Yeah, we fast." And somebody asked her, well, when do you fast, Mother Teresa? And she said, oh, whenever we don't have food, which was often. In a little different context than abundance in America here, I think. So fasting and prayer went together. Patrick tells us that the crew made a detour to France. Evidently, they were selling a bunch of racing hounds. How about that for a story? This is in the material. And as they were going through the continental wilderness, they found no food and they began to starve. And at that brink of time, the unbelieving men mocked Patrick and said, oh, if your God is so powerful, shouldn't he be able to give us food? So what did Patrick do? He went to prayer. And what was the response? God sent them a herd of feral pigs. There they are. They're overwhelming southern United States right now. But they liked this. They promptly dispatched them, ending their prolonged fast with an incredible pork feast. Right? Patrick further writes, there was so much pork that even all their racing dogs ate their fill. So God provided for everyone and every creature. Now, when Patrick finally returned home to Britain, can you imagine the joy that his mother and father must have felt on seeing their son again? They expected they'd never see him again, right? The joy they had. Now, what seems to be is that Patrick only had one real desire, and that was for a copy of a Bible. Right? That's what he really wanted, so he could immerse himself in God's word. But you probably don't think about this as well. Here's another severe mercy, especially for his mother and father, when Patrick said, you know what? God is moving in my heart. I believe God is calling me to go on mission for the lost souls in Ireland. I'm going to return. That must have just devastated them initially. Now, Patrick knew he needed some preparation, some training, went to a seminary in France to prepare for a lifetime of ministry and service to the Irish people who had enslaved him in the first place. Pretty amazing story in and of itself just there. But one of the things I was reminded of is Patrick believed that training and education came before the actual mission, right? He knew he needed to learn Bible and theology and I've said this before, but I'm astounded at so many Christians in our valley and even pastors who say that stuff doesn't matter. Yeah, it actually does matter. And Patrick used that to prepare, right? Patrick also knew, and to his parents' sorrow, that he would never return home again, right? They blessed him so that he could get on mission, right? Now, we do know that the severe mercy that Patrick had experienced during those six long years of slavery in Ireland had prepared him. God used that to prepare him to be the perfect person to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the Irish. Think about it. He learned the language. He learned the customs and ways of the Irish in ways that few others ever had or even wanted to, because 5th century Ireland was considered by many to be the last place on earth, right? We didn't know about America, North America, South America yet. They thought Ireland was the last place, and nobody really wanted to go there because it was dangerous. Lots of crazy stuff going on, and the people were dangerous. They were more interested in their own bloodlust and pagan druid priests than anything else. And they were known for liking their strong drink. So it went way back. It's just not stereotypes today, right? And that obviously continues on. I remember when I lived in the Irish Bronx in New York City, I was told plainly by the Irish that the Pope himself had given all the Irish around the world a dispensation, get out of jail free card, so that they could imbibe on St. Patrick's Day despite the Lenten feast. They got a one-day reprieve because it was such a big deal. Kind of like the time. Uh-oh. When an Irishman walked out of a New York City bar on St. Patrick's Day. Probably not, but theoretically, I suppose it could happen, right? And he took the bus. Now, you may be thinking, well, if he's been drinking, that's the responsible thing, to take the bus. Well, it's not responsible if he's never driven a bus before. Believe me, I've heard lots of worse things in New York. The bottom line was this, is that there were very few Christians when Patrick went to Ireland, but by his death, nearly the entire island had been converted for Jesus Christ in just a few short decades. Yeah, it's an amazing story. The bottom line is this, is that in Ireland as bishop, Patrick was committed to these sort of Lenten disciplines, these Christian disciplines of fasting and prayer. And when he got on mission, then he became committed to radical giving, which is another value. Radical, just Latin for meaning roots. I mean, are these rooted practices and values that you have in your Christian life? Is giving in Jesus' name a root in your life? Now, throughout his writings, he was very careful about receiving gifts so as not to be obligated in that day or trapped by others. You know, when sometimes people give you a gift, it's not really a gift, right? We get that when we give out the hams at Christmas time. It's like we give them this and they're like, what do you want? I'm like, nothing. Nothing. God bless you. And they're like, you must want something. You're not just giving me stuff for nothing. We're, yes, we are. That's a value. I don't have to come to your church? No. You're welcome. But you don't have to. Huh. Okay. So you got to sometimes be careful with some of that stuff. And Patrick had to be careful given the political climate of the time and that day. Kind of like the Apostle Paul in Corinth. Now, Patrick made it his habit to virtually give away everything for free. Why? In order to demonstrate the love of God and create opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ, right? Again, we take physical things to promote spiritual things. That's what Patrick was doing, right? He even would send gifts to the nobles, right? And he was even, some of them would charge him to go through their lands, you know, fees, taxes, tolls, and he would pay it. Why would he pay it? So that he could preach the gospel and make converts. He gave it all away. And these are actually Patrick's words. He said this, I will give, and then I will give some more, because for me, poverty is better than riches. I have even given away my own noble rank and home so that I may give my life and serve the Lord in Ireland. How about that for dedication? Fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, right? We love that verse, Acts 20:35. Jesus said it's better to than to receive. So at the end of his life, Patrick could say from the bottom of his heart, his words, I cannot be silent about the great benefits and great grace which the Lord has bestowed on me, because before I knew the Lord, I was like a stone lying in the deep mud, and Almighty God came and in his mercy, he lifted me up. What a great testimony. God had a plan and purpose for Patrick's life, to get on mission for the salvation of people, but it was done through an initial monumental hardship, a severe mercy. Now, I'm not saying that all Christians have to go through some severe mercy to be part of the plans and purposes of God, but for some of us, that is true, right? And certainly for Patrick, right? I'm just saying that it's often through the trials and difficulties that we experience in life that, and sometimes through an incredible severe mercy, that we become awakened to the plans and purposes of God. We become clear about stuff, right? If you've had these epiphany moments or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm going to do it differently now with God's help. How about that? Amen. Yeah, that's what I'm really talking about. And prepare you for your next stage or your mission that God has for you. So the point of the Lenten season is to intentionally prepare for Easter, right? Again, traditionally disciplines like fasting, giving, and prayer in our lives, Patrick used all of these sorts of things. Far from leprechauns, shamrock shakes, green beer, and other silly nonsense, in Patrick we find an example of what it means to be a fully devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it can look like for us to be on mission for the Lord in our own lives. So in closing, let me offer you an Irish blessing for St. Patrick's Day. May your blessings outnumber the shamrocks you grow. May trouble avoid you wherever you go. May your plate be full. May the roof be strong over your head. And may you be in heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, the world has co-opted and stolen St. Patrick, and we're taking him back. We thank you for the example of him and countless others throughout history who are fully devoted followers of Jesus, who inspire us to seek you more, Lord, to get on mission. And so, Lord, as we observe this day, we thank you for his life, and we thank you for the opportunity to be followers of you, to be in your house, to seek your face, and for this beautiful springtime, Lord. And so as we go forth from this place, as we celebrate a birthday, as we enjoy this day, we just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.